Good morning to you, and I am very excited to be here this morning with all of you. We've got an extra special surprise this morning, an extra special surprise. People from church here at St. Andrew's are going to get an all-expenses-paid trip to first-century Bethlehem and Nazareth. How's that possible, you ask? Well, advances in modern technology mean that at Virgin Holidays, we're at the forefront of our holidays, and we've built a time machine. You might be able to see it over there in the corner. And so we're offering holidays to anywhere in history. And today, we've got a special offer for St. Andrew's. A few people are going to get a free trip back to experience the very first Christmas for themselves. Now, without further ado, let's find out who it is. There are some golden tickets under some seats in the audience. So reach under your seat, and if you find a golden ticket, you are going to get a free holiday back in time. Oh, one person here, perfect. Thank you. Oh, another amazing. Have we got anybody else? There should be one. Oh, one person from the back, perfect. Up you come. What a surprise that it's you three. Great. Come here. Here you go. Now, we'll give you your boards so that you can make notes. Obviously, you want to remember this forever. In history, we're going back to the very first Christmas. Well, don't worry if you didn't get a free trip back in time, because due to, again, our advances in technology, you've got wonderful cameras and sound equipment, and everything we see, you're going to see. Everything we hear, you're going to hear. Everything we smell, you might not smell, but that's okay. So, without further ado, in fact, on these tours, we've got a tour guide. That's myself. Russell Sprout, but also we've got a resident expert. And today we're taking with us Lawrence, a local curate from St. Andrew's. He's going to come back in time with us to share his wisdom and his knowledge about the age and just teach us a little bit as we go through our tour to see that very first Christmas. So let's go for it.
Russell, I know you're really excited about this, but I've been doing some real research about going back to first century Bethlehem and Nazareth. And if we go like this, we'll just stick out like a sore thumb, won't we? I mean, everybody will realise we're a tour group, and it's not nice being tourists, is it? So I've done some research.
Great.
And what they used to wear in those days were dressing gowns and tea towels on their heads and things like that.
Brilliant.
So
okay.
I brought some special stuff here.
Great.
So should we get dressed in these so we don't stick out?
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks, Lawrence. That's why you have a resident expert, so you don't stick out. Right, here we go.
Okay, no, nice. Okay.
Got your dressing gowns on, everyone? Perfect. Now we'll really fit in. That's it. We can put them on in the time machine. Don't worry. Let's go. Come on, let's get in there. Let's get this tour on. No. Right, in you come. Come on. Perfect. Great. In the time machine. Great. Okay. Are you ready? I'm going to turn it on. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, and we're going.
A bit sick. Did it really work? Have we gone back in time?
Oh, we sure have. Look over there. Can you see all those people gathered in Nazareth? Guys, why don't you go and sit with the crowd and then we'll find out what's going to happen next. Come and sit down. Come on. Don't forget to put your earpieces in so you can always hear me. I'll just get through here. Thank you. Oh, amazing. First century Nazareth. Look at all of these people. It's incredible. We've got loads. We've got some shepherds. We've got some angels. We've got some wise men. Whoa, first century Nazareth is amazing. But let's see. Why don't we see exactly who we've got? Now, have we got any angels here this morning? Perfect. Angels, why don't you stand up if you're an angel so we can all see you? Brilliant. How about an angel pose? What does an angel maybe pose like? Oh, good pose, Joseph, nice. Okay, brilliant. Have a seat, angels, have a seat. Now, have we got any animals here in Nazareth? Oh, yes. Now, Micah, what's your animal noise? Do you want to make one up? Okay, have a seat. We've got our animal. Brilliant. Okay, how about shepherds? Stand up, shepherds. If you're a shepherd, why don't you stand up? Oh, amazing. Now, shepherds, do you know you've got a special job? Because later on, a bright light is going to shine. And shepherds, I need you to shout. Ready? Oh, what's that? Do you want to have a try? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Good one. Good one. Have a seat. You can shout it later. Shout it later. Wise men, where are my wise men? Have we got any wise men with us this morning? Any kings? Oh, perfect. Danny, amazing. Look at these kings. Brilliant. We're going to see you a little bit. Can you show us your best bow? Can you show us your best bow? Brilliant. Have a seat. Have a seat. Great. Now, everyone else, you thought you got away with it, but you've got a job too. You are the people, the crowd of people. So when we get to Bethlehem, we say, there's loads of people, and you will say, we've come to pay our taxes. So we're going to have a practice, okay? Ready? So in Bethlehem, there's loads of people.
We've come to pay our taxes.
Yeah, perfect. Amazing. Okay, we're ready to go. We're definitely in the right place, a town called Nazareth. And about 2,000 years ago in this town, there lived a young girl called Mary. Now, Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. In fact, look, there they are now. Onto the stage, come forward. Mary and Joseph, amazing, seeing them for ourselves is so good. And we're going to stick with Mary for a minute because she had a very special visitor. In fact, a bright warrior of light called Gabriel appeared before Mary, and he told her she'd been chosen to have a special baby. He said this,
Mary, do not be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end.
Amazing. Now, soon after the angel visited Mary and Joseph, they were married, and it was wonderful.
This is amazing. Best holiday ever. I can't believe we've just seen an angel. I'm shaking all over.
I know, and that wasn't even the best bit. This girl called Mary is going to give birth to God's son, and he's going to be king forever. God, as a baby, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's all right, but it's a bit smelly here. Why couldn't we have just gone on holiday to Butlins like normal people?
If you'd gone to Butlins, you wouldn't have seen an angel. That's amazing, isn't it? We had an angel announcing amazing news to Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. What's the angel of God doing in this little tiny town in first century Palestine? That's amazing. You know, Nazareth wasn't very much to look at. You can see here, there's not much to see, is there? There might have been 50 families in Nazareth, a really tiny little place. And the angel of God comes to Mary and says to her, there's something amazing. Now, if we had the angel of God coming to us, we think, what's the angel of God doing here? Maybe the angel of God's kind of seeing who's naughty and who's nice and who can get presents this Christmas time. Or maybe we think the angel of God's coming to make everything better and to stop bad stuff happening. But that's not what the angel of God's doing with Mary, is it? He's not checking whether Mary's a good person or a bad person. He's not making everything all right. In fact, probably some bad stuff happened in Nazareth right at that same time. But the angel of God comes to Mary and he interrupts her life. She's there on a morning, probably a girl who's a bit worried about leaving her home, getting married. And the angel of God comes to her and interrupts her life. And Christmas is a bit like that, isn't it? It's an interruption in life, an interruption in what normally happens. And God interrupts us at this time of year. Now, who's been told that interrupting is not a good thing to do? Anybody been told you're not allowed to interrupt? Yeah? Your teachers have told you not to interrupt. Your parents have told you not to interrupt. But God is an interrupting God. Did you know that? God interrupts people. And there's even a joke about it. Do you want to hear the joke about the interrupting God? Yeah? Okay, so knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting God.
Interrupting God.
Christmas is coming! God interrupts at Christmas time. He says, Jesus is coming at this time of Christmas. It's an interruption in Mary's life. And there'll be lots more interruptions, won't there, Russell, in Mary's life as we follow through the story. There'll be lots more interruptions in her life. In fact, God interrupting doesn't end the interruptions. It brings more in the rest of her life. And this Christmas might be full of interruptions for you. Your younger brother or sister might interrupt you and want to play with a toy that you've just been given. Your parents might interrupt you and want to go on one of those lovely family walks that they always insist you go on a Christmas afternoon. Your grandparents might be interrupted by a family member who they really can't stand, but they have to talk to you for a little while. There'll be lots of interruptions this Christmas time. All the best laid plans that we have will be interrupted. But will we let God interrupt our Christmas? That first Christmas, the angel came to Mary and said, I'm bringing you good news. And so all the other interruptions that Mary faced in her life, she knew that she wasn't on her own. She knew that God was with her. She could endure the interruptions. She could even enjoy some of them because she knew that God was with her. We often overlook the interruptions at Christmas time and expect God only to work in our lives in big and spectacular ways. But most often, it's the little interruptions that give us the chance to trust God, to rely on Him more, and to learn to love others. So back to you, Russell.
Thanks, Lawrence. Thank you. Now, Mary was due to have her baby when her and Joseph were told they had to go on a long journey to Bethlehem, which is where Joseph came from. And that was because they had to pay a special tax. So we're going to go on a long journey with them.
Hold on. We're not going to follow them, are we?
Yeah, of course. That's the next part of our trip. We're going to follow Mary and Joseph on their journey to Bethlehem.
Okay. Well, how far is it?
About 70 miles.
What? I had to walk 70 miles!
Well, it's just like walking from Plymouth to Taunton. You should be fine. I mean, at least you're not massively pregnant. Anyway, we're going to go on a journey, so we need our donkey and Mary and Joseph. We're going to go on our journey to Bethlehem. And just as we go, back in St. Andrews, I'm just going to hand over to Joe. We're going to switch the cameras off as we follow Mary and Joseph on their journey. So back over to Joe as we walk on our journey. Well, at last, we've arrived in Bethlehem. We've followed Mary and Joseph. It's been a tough trip, but we are here. My feet are killing me.
My feet are killing me. I'm never taking a car for granted again.
Well, tour group, it's really busy, so make sure you keep your eyes on me and follow me around so you won't get lost in Bethlehem. It's so crowded with so many other people. Perfect, it's like we practiced. Mary was very tired and she needed a place to stay. But there were so many people at each inn, the story was the same. There was no room. Eventually, one kind innkeeper said he had a stable where he kept his animals and they were welcome to stay there.
Wait, is God's son actually going to be born in a dirty stable?
Yeah, I read about it in the holiday brochure as we were walking.
It said, So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because it belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
God doesn't seem to have planned his interruption very well, does he? His family get to Bethlehem and there's no room at the inn. and his baby son has to be born in a manger. That sounds crazy. How long do you spend planning your Christmases? How long have you thought about what present you guys want to get before you go to Christmas? Probably quite a long time, I would think. Maybe more than a few days? Maybe a few weeks you've been thinking about it? Yeah, most of us plan our Christmases a bit better than God seems to have planned this Christmas. I wonder what's going on. I knew a lady who planned her Christmas in January. She used to go out and buy her presents in January, all the old cards, and so she'd have 12 months of preparing for Christmas. God seems to have got it all wrong. But do you know that? Do you realize what's been happening here? God says that Jesus, his son, is from the line of David. He's going to have David's throne. In fact, God's been planning this Christmas for a very, very long time, all the way back to David's time. Now, how many years do you think there were between David and Jesus? How many years do you think there might have been? Quite a few. In fact, we've got a few numbers here in the church. I need 10 people to go and find me some numbers that are scattered around the church. Can 10 of you go and find me some numbers? Yeah, just grab, jump up and go and find some numbers and see which one you think might be the number of years. Go head down this way. Come this way, that's it. Come and have a look for some numbers. Shall we go and have a look for some numbers? I think some people are holding them up for you. Do you want to have a look? Look, there's some numbers. Go and grab some numbers.
George,
bring them back along.
Some numbers?
Go and grab some numbers. Well, we've got a few numbers. There's a few more coming. Oh, thank you very much. Great, thank you. Oh, there's a few numbers here. That's fantastic. Thanks, Jay-Z. Amazing. Oh, wow, lots of numbers here. Okay. Thank you very much. Lots of numbers in the church. Okay, who can help me sort out these numbers? What number's that one?
400.
Do you reckon Jesus was being planned for 400 years? There are 400 years between David and Jesus?
No.
More or less, do you reckon? More? You think more? Okay, let's find a number that's more than 400 here. Let's see. What about 700? Do you reckon 700 years? Was God planning Christmas for 700 years? No? More or less, do you reckon? More, still more? Okay. Let's find another number here. Well, how about 900? 900 years between David and Jesus. Some say yeah. More or less? More? We'll go for one more. What number's that? 1,000. Do you reckon that's about right? The number of years between David and Jesus, about 1,000 years. Do you realize that God has been planning this Christmas for more than 1,000 years? That David, God's own chosen king, was going to have a much better and greater king. This first Christmas came back thousands of years after God's first plan. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it, for Mary? Mary and Joseph, as they're wandering through the streets of Bethlehem, it looks like they're lost. It looks like nothing has gone to plan. They're having to find a manger to lay the baby Jesus in. And yet the reminder is that God's been planning this day for thousands and thousands of years. That's an encouragement for Mary, isn't it, as she goes through life, knowing that God's planned this all out for her. But it's also an encouragement for us, as we think that God is in charge of our lives, of our Christmases. He's planned our lives from thousands of years ago. So whatever's happening this Christmas, the Bible says that God, at just the right time, sent his son, born of a woman. Jesus is God's forever king that God has planned for thousands of years. Back to you, Russell Sprout.
Amazing. Well, because that's such good news, we're going to sing a song that we've been learning in Rock Solid. You can all join in about how God has been faithful to his people all through history. That's what we're going to sing about now. So, Rock Solid guys, we know it, so you can stand and do some actions with me. There are actions. Don't feel like you need to get involved, but if you want to, we'd love you to join in. All I'm going to show you is the actions to the chorus. The verses just make them up as you go along, but the chorus we sing a few times. So, are you ready? We say, thank you, oh thank you, that all through history you were faithful. Thank you, oh thank you, that you are just the same when it comes to me, when it comes to me. Got it? Simple. The rest just make them up as you go along. So let's stand. Let's stand together and sing about God's faithfulness. Right now, tour group, we are off on the next part of our trip. We're going to the local hills for the next bit.
Isn't there going to be a bit more of a celebration? Everything in the past has been pointing forward to this moment.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. God has been born as a man like he promised long ago, and the only ones that have seen him are a couple of stinky animals.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it is just a couple of stinky animals that have seen so far, but that's why we're heading off to the hills to see the shepherds and their sheep. Perfect. Now, while the shepherds were watching their sheep, a bright light appeared in the sky. They were terrified and they shouted, "Ah, what's that?" Amazing. Well, it was a great host of angels. And the angels all came and they had a great message for the shepherds. The angels, they said this.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Well, when the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds ran as fast as they could to the stable to see the new baby king. Go on, shepherds, run to the stable. Amazing. And the angels, you can follow them. Brilliant. Now, when they arrived at the stable, they were filled with joy. Big smiles. At seeing the baby Jesus lying in a manger, and they all knelt down and they worshipped him. They told Mary and Joseph how the angel had appeared in the sky and told them that Jesus was God's Messiah, his chosen king, who was the Savior of the world.
That's pretty amazing, tour group, isn't it? That this baby is the Savior. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ. This baby...
Hello.
Have any of you got any baby brothers or sisters? And you know, they've got kind of... You know, they can't do very much, can they? They sleep most of the day. They can't feed very well. They can't speak. They can't play your favourite games. This baby Jesus, is going to be the Saviour of the world. That seems crazy, doesn't it? That a baby, a little human baby, is the Saviour of the world. This is God's interruption that he's been planning for thousands of years. That a baby will be born to a young woman in first century Palestine. And this baby will be a Saviour for the world. Now that might sound incredible, impossible. Let's do a little quiz about what babies can and can't do, shall we? What can a baby do? Can a baby eat? Yeah, babies can eat. So that's one thing that a baby can do. Can a baby get dressed by itself?
No.
No, not really. Can a baby talk? No. Can a baby save a goal in football? No. Babies can't do that. Can a baby save the world? It seems impossible, doesn't it, that this baby can save the world. And yes, this is God's promise, that this baby Jesus is the Saviour, is the Christ. And this will be a sign to you, the angel says, that you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. What a crazy sign. Yet there's a reminder that what is impossible for us is possible for God. I don't know how you respond to the Christmas story. It might seem impossible or improbable. And yet the response of the shepherds is one that we can learn from. God is calling us to come in wonder again, that a baby born to us can be saviour of the world, that God, all his power, can be brought into the little tiny life of a baby. That baby can grow up, can live a life that no human has lived before or since, can die for the sins of the world, and can take us into relationship with God. What a wonderful story this Christmas time. It seems impossible. And yet, as we look again, we realize that nothing is impossible with God.
Great. Thank you so much, Lawrence. Now, what an amazing thing. God's become a man. He must love us so much to become a baby and to save us. And we're going to sing about that now in our next song, For God So Loved the World. And again, there are a few actions. Let me see if I can remember them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. And then we've got an L. Hold on. Here we go, life. An L, like this. An I, an F, and then you have to use your leg as well for an E. So let's see if we can manage that. Why don't you stand and sing with me? Now, it's almost time for us to head back to St. Andrew's Tour Group in 2017, but there is one more set of visitors that we came to see. One more group that came to see the new king. Far away in the east, wise men, well, they saw a new star high in the sky.
Wow, Jesus really is a special baby. I've never heard of a new star being put into the sky to signal a birth.
It's amazing. The wise men studied the star and they followed it. They knew that that star meant that a new amazing baby ruler had been born. And so they came to Herod's palace and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Seeing that Jesus wasn't in the palace, the wise men set off to find the baby. They were guided by the star to the stable in Bethlehem. Here they knelt down and they worshipped Jesus. They gave him gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And you know, in a dream, the wise men were warned not to go back to Herod. So they were to escape back east by another route. And you know, that's where we need to kind of wrap up our tour quickly, because we don't want Herod to find us here or start asking too many questions. In fact, I think I can see a couple of his ugliest guards coming. Here, quick, quick, run. They're coming for us. Quick, go, 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 go. Back to the time machine. Quick, quick, they're gaining on us.
Close?
Yeah, I can't believe we almost got stuck in first century Bethlehem. Lawrence, what would have happened if we had been caught by one of those guards?
Lawrence?
Did we just leave him behind?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. But that's okay, he's our resident expert, so the best him getting left behind than any of us. At least he knows what he's doing back there. Brilliant. Anyway, guys, I hope you've really enjoyed your all-expenses-paid tour back to first century Bethlehem, have you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, thank you. Go and have a seat. Go and have a seat. Thank you very much. Ooh. And the rest of St. Andrews, well, I hope you've enjoyed witnessing the future of holidays. Here at Virgin Holidays, we're always at the forefront of holidays. And you'll be pleased to know that we're taking bookings for next year. If you book before the weekend, there's 40% off. And we can now boast an almost one-for-one return from any holiday, a 99% success rate. So if you'd like to book, just get hold of me afterwards. I'd love to chat to you about that for next year. But I'm just going to hand back over to Joe to finish the service. Thanks very much.